You'll be aware that RN is this week running the Trees Project, celebrating all aspects of trees, though I'm not sure we shall go so far as a news item I saw yesterday of a man who wanted to marry a tree. Anyway, today I'm delighted to introduce Scott Poynton, who's from Australia but lives and works in Switzerland trying to save trees around the world. Now, the extraordinary thing is he took this course in life after listening to a science show 35 years ago. He was going to be a vet when he grew up, but after hearing the legendary Richard St. Barbe Baker talk so lyrically about planting trees, Scott changed his plans and decided to become a forester instead. Amazing. He now runs the Forest Trust based in Geneva and making a huge difference to companies and what they do with their attempts at land clearing. Scott operates in about 18 countries and more. Scott.
The IPCC published its latest report recently and confirmed what believers already knew, that climate change is real, it's happening now, its effects will be bad, and we're responsible for it. 95% confidence limits are pretty definitive. It really is beyond time for us to stop talking. We've got to start acting, and quickly. Yes, we have to prepare coping strategies to deal with the changes we've already embedded into our future, but the more rapidly we reduce CO2 emissions, the less affected our future will be. We know that deforestation is a major contributor. Lord Nicholas Stern launched his report at the end of 2006, noting that deforestation contributes some 18% of global greenhouse gas emissions, second only to the energy sector and more than the entire global transport sector combined. The Food and Agriculture Organization estimates that we chop down some 13 million hectares of forest every year. McKinsey, a global consultancy, determined that we could achieve significant cost-effective and rapid emissions reductions if we could curb our propensity for cutting down trees. That sounds like a positive start. Easy even, and good to do, given the other negative impacts from deforestation, such as species extinction, human rights abuses, and impoverishment. Yet despite the compelling logic to stop, deforestation rates remain stubbornly high. Why? Well, because deforestation is a wicked problem. American philosopher and systems scientist C. West Churchman coined the term wicked problem in the late 1970s. He used it to describe those challenges that are complex, ill-defined, ambiguous, and associated with strong moral issues set in a highly dynamic context. They won't keep still. No one is truly in command, and no plan can be possibly set in advance to solve them. The only way to tackle them is to dive straight into the complexity, engage with all the parts of the system, and work your way forward, tackling all the moving and dynamic issues as you go. The usual structured and command-control approaches don't solve wicked problems. They essentially require adaptive leadership, the willingness to get messy, and see things differently. Deforestation is driven by a complex array of forces with intensely held moral positions for and against the need for it. Socio-economic development needs and political, cultural, and historical forces, not to mention terrible corruption, fight for deforestation against environmental, social rights, and ethical forces condemning it. In discussing deforestation, we end with polarized voices fighting each other in local, regional, national, and international contexts that don't align. While everyone argues, the destruction continues. In the last 50 years, deforestation has occurred mostly in the tropics. Countries of the South seeking a path to development have cashed in on the resources in their forest-rich frontier. Timber has been a starter, but it's the land the trees grow on that holds the greatest potential wealth. The World Bank reports that the path to development in most economies lies through the agricultural sector, and this has certainly been the case in much of the developed world. Europe, the United States, and Australia all relied heavily on strong agricultural sectors to grow their economies in the 19th and 20th centuries. Emerging economies such as Brazil, Indonesia and Malaysia are following fast. All have converted vast forest areas into soy farms, cattle ranches or palm oil plantations to supply raw materials to global agricultural commodity markets. African countries hope to follow. The for and against this development approach was discussed at the Rio Earth Summit back in 1992. One of the key responses that emerged from the discussions was the concept of roundtable multi-stakeholder certification. By 1994, the first such certification scheme, the Forest Stewardship Council, or FSC, designed to promote better management of the world's forests, had emerged, and an energised group of NGOs and business leaders were formally working together, many for the first time, positive about its capacity to make things better. 20 years on, and we have many more such certification schemes. A November 2011 report noted certifications and labels are everywhere. At the time, the Global Ecolabel Index listed 426 certifications and labels in 25 industry sectors: palm oil, cocoa, coffee, marine fisheries, to name a few. Around two-thirds of these were developed in the last decade alone, and new schemes continue to arrive. 20 years is also a good span over which to review performance. We can look back and assess how effective roundtable certification has been. Many celebrate roundtables and their impacts and see them as at least part of the solution to the world's environmental and social woes. I don't. Most certification schemes, even today, still struggle to impact more than 10% of the industries they were established to transform. The roundtable certification industry is a well-intentioned ambulance, but is it the right one, the best? Has our yearning for consensus blinded us to its failings, left us with something substandard? We're often told that certification is the only show in town. If not certification, then what? Are words too often uttered in despair? I contend that it's high time we started focusing our intelligence on the then what part of the equation. To date, the response to any criticism of roundtables has been to focus ever harder, to spend more scarce time and money on better governance, more rules, more controls, more training, more consumer awareness to improve the system. All the while, the wicked problem continues to spin out of control. With the world facing so many serious problems, this hints at Nero, Rome, fiddling and burning. Roundtable certification schemes can help us to define common principles and validate good practice on the change journey. They're good tools for compliance, but not for learning. They are rigid and systems-based rather than adaptive and people-based. In our complex and ever-changing reality, applying standards and systems without directly engaging people and leveraging relationships is adding complication to complexity. The responsibility these people have as stewards of our land should not be treated as a universal ideal to standardise and roll out across the world. The real beauty lies in responsibility being a dynamic reality approached through a diversity of learning, being adaptive, and best of all, simple, personal journeys. At the Forest Trust, we ask people to define their own product story. We have seen time and again how decisions based on fundamental values informed by life experience and discussions with others can bring real transformation. We ask people, do you want to kill orangutans? Generally, the answer is no. Do you know where your palm oil comes from? Usually, no, though answered less equivocally. So if you don't know where your palm oil comes from, how do you know whether it's causing deforestation that destroys the orangutan's forest home? If you don't know, the implication is that you don't care. And given that the Roundtable Certification Scheme established for the palm oil industry, the Roundtable on Sustainable Palm Oil, allows deforestation and the clearance of carbon-rich peatlands, pointing to your RSPO membership doesn't help. What can you do instead? Having established that you no longer wish to be linked to deforestation and the death of orangutans, you had better work out whether you are. You need traceability. You need to know exactly where your raw materials come from. You have to work right back down your supply chain to find the origin of all the ingredients in all of your products. Palm oil, paper, soy, beef, all ingredients that have a potential forest footprint. It's not easy, but it is possible. Once you know where your ingredients come from, you can work out how you're doing against your values. Is there deforestation? If so, what are you going to do about it? You could dump the supplier, or instead, you could agree to work together to change practices, and that is how you drive real transformation. In the Forest Trust's time working with over 100 companies in different sectors to change their product stories, we've seen the world's largest food company, Nestlé, establish and implement no deforestation responsible sourcing guidelines for all the palm oil and pulp and paper products it buys. And Indonesia's largest palm oil and largest pulp and paper sector companies and the world's leading biofuel producer make and implement no deforestation commitments. It starts by companies defining what they want for their products, and then we go out on the ground to transform practices. Certification can and has played a role in this process. It represents a milestone on the journey, but not a destination. Companies can and usually do go beyond certification standards to meet their own values. It is companies doing the deforestation that drives climate change, not governments. Governments make policy contexts that allow it, either with weak laws or poor enforcement, but it is global supply chains pulling raw materials to meet global demand that destroys forests. Getting companies within those supply chains to understand the business benefits from telling a different, more positive story is the path to the transformation we need to solve the wicked problems causing climate change. Science can be an ally in the application of values. We recently carried out a study to identify the threshold between forest and truly degraded land by using close satellite technology to discover high carbon stock. Your values tell you that you want to grow palm oil, but not at the expense of valuable forests and peatlands. Science and technology have helped us find the point over which we all agree no development takes place. Those vital lands are preserved. Adopting certification schemes without in parallel defining, knowing, and changing your own product story is missing on the power of inner commitments and open collaboration to drive system-wide innovation and resilience. In a noisy and constantly changing world, telling a unique change story inspired by the values that underpin your brand carries a lot more weight than another label. Most critically, it achieves real and lasting transformation. As my colleagues and I, along with many others, grapple with climate change and its many drivers, I believe what we are learning in supply chains, this application of values for transformation, suggests a way forward that is different from the UN-led systems and standards-based approach we have adopted to date. If we ask ourselves simple questions like, do you want to cause deforestation? We naturally come up with a different answer than if we ask ourselves, do you want to be certified? To date, we've been asking ourselves the wrong questions, and we've so far failed to stem the emissions and destruction we've been heaping on the natural world. I believe that humans need not be a negative in nature. Quite the contrary. I believe that if humans ask themselves better questions and act according to their fundamental values, we will develop that adaptive approach to solve those wicked problems. Then we might all stand a better chance to surviving what lays ahead.
I hope he's right. Scott Poynton, founder and director of the Forest Trust in Geneva. And there's no question they've made a huge difference in places like Indonesia. Next week, trains and safety. Frank Szanto rides again. I'm Robin Williams.